Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Sunday Service with Sunday Morning Breakfast. As I welcome you this morning, we have been talking about the graduate, having what it takes to enter into heaven. Again, that's having what it takes to enter into heaven. As we get ready to welcome our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Mr. Carr, how are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful, yourself?
I'm doing great.
All right. Well, I want to go ahead and unmute Ms. Tiana. Go with me.
Okay, she's ready.
Okay, how you doing, Ms. Tiana?
Great, Mr. Carr. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So we want to go ahead and open up with prayer, and then we're going to get started on the call, please.
All right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this day, this gift of life that you continue to provide to us, and this journey that you have set forth. Heavenly Father, as we go forward on this morning's call, we are just excited that we're talking about what it is to enter into your kingdom, dear Lord, that resting place, that place of absolute joy, heaven that you have prepared for us, Heavenly Father. So may we actually live this life that you have so provided in a way that when we do, Heavenly Father, we are invited into your kingdom to love and to enjoy everlasting life. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for our leader. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, y'all. So we're talking about the graduates. We've been talking about it all weekend. You know, if you haven't listened to Wednesday Bible study, I do encourage you to do so. But with that being said, Ms. Tiana, we're going to rock and roll this morning. You want to go ahead and open us up for what you got?
Yes, sir. The graduate. Love this topic, having what it takes to enter into heaven. Well, as I was researching, I came across this interesting note that above the entryway of several German concentration camps, there were the words, Arbe macht frei. It means work sets you free. Work will liberate you and give you freedom. But what I want to share this morning is that was a lie. It was a false hope. The Nazis made the people believe that hard work would equal liberation, that they would graduate from their confinement, but the promised liberation was actually horrifying. No suffering was even death. Our bait mock free was a lie. False hope, an impossible dream for many people in the world. So many people believe that their good work will be great enough to outweigh their bad works, allowing them to stand before God in eternity and say, you owe me the right to enter into heaven. No, only God can determine that. Because sadly, God's work does not set us free. It does not lead to graduation in God. It does not equate to having what it takes to enter into heaven. It's the love of God that liberates. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that liberates. And he died in our place so that we would be free. And because of that, oh, we've got so much work to do. And it's interesting because, as always, right on time with these messages, just yesterday, I attended a high school graduation. There were 42 outstanding 18-year-olds who walked across the stage, received their certificate of completion. And at the same time, we're reminded that this graduation is just the beginning. It's not the end. It's not freedom, it's not liberation, it's a transition to the next portion of their journey, which God has intended for each of them. And part of that is heaven. Heaven's a world of joy, a world of timelessness. It's a place where we will be where we belong, the home for our hearts. And as Christians who have claimed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have to stand with joy before our great Father. Because down here on this earth, our journey requires that we turn from trivial pursuits. We turn from fleeting pleasures. We turn from petty resentments. We turn from materialism. And instead, get caught up in the gladness of God to have what it takes to enter into heaven. We need to operate as we are in heaven each and every day. We should redeem each moment that we have because the moments are getting shorter and shorter. And I love a quote by a missionary named Amy Carmichael, which said, We shall have all of eternity to celebrate victories, but we're only going to have a few hours before sunset in which we win them. We got work to do. So when we graduate each moment of each day, God has gifted us the opportunity to choose him, choose righteousness, and live it all out in his name. I hope you ate well.
All right. The graduate. I think so many different things, so many different ways we can go with this. When you talk about graduating, you're advancing. That's why it's called the commencement. You get your cap, your gown, your diploma. Of course, you have on something underneath, but it's all about what's on top. The graduate is not just one, it's many. You know, the thing about the graduate is you have a lot of people watching, the very few who walk across stage, but they're walking across. Okay. Then you have these people, instructors, guides, principals, aides, you know, alumni who may sit on the stage. But there's always that one at the end who congratulates you and hugs you. The thing is, as you walk across stage, you have this joy about yourself, and as you should, because you look back over the things that you've accomplished. But here's the thing. A true graduate only knows that's the beginning. Because now you're stepping into something else that you have literally been prepared for. You got to pull from everything that you've studied, everything that you have twisted and toiled about, you know, those long nights, those papers, you know, those tests, those pop-up quiz and things like that. You have to apply all of this to life. Now, some things you very well may think you don't need. But, you know, it's funny how being a graduate, you don't have to be at the top of your class to be successful in life.
Come on.
Y'all know that? See, a lot of times people get it confused in the things of God because they'll say, well, they know more, or, you know, I don't know as much, or they can quote the scripture. But that's not what being a graduate is about. The thing is, the Bible said the righteous shall barely make it in. As long as I graduate, are we going?
Yes.
The righteous shall barely make it in. So whether you make it in and you bust it wide open, or, you know, you barely make it in, here's the thing. Nobody's going to bust it wide open because the Bible said barely makes it in. Barely. All right? I want to go to a scripture or two right quick. Can you read 2 Timothy 2 and 15 for me, Miss Sienna? Y'all write that down. We're talking about the graduate. Okay? 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Now, I'm going to let you read the New King James Version. Then I want you to read the Message Bible. Okay.
All right.
So again, y'all write that down, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, the graduate, what it takes, or having what it takes to make it into heaven. All right. What you got, Miss Sienna?
Okay. New King James says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a work who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
See, and get the Message Bible for me. See, this is important, people. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Now, y'all do know the Bible says to study, to show thyself approved. Meaning, take in God's word so that we can live life skillfully, purposefully. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling the word of truth. When we work for God, what are we ashamed about? How have we graduated into maturity? How have we graduated into the spirit from the flesh if we're still ashamed? Go ahead and read the Message version, Ms. Tiana.
Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth plain and simple. Stay clear of pious talks. That is only talk.
Say that one more time.
Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of. Laying out truth simple and plain. Stay clear of pious talk. That is only talk.
But, look up that word right quick. You said, what kind of talk?
Pious.
Look that up for everybody right quick. But concentrate on doing your best for God. I love that. Concentrate on doing your best for God. You know, that's one of the things that we are in undergrad or even in high school. You want to do your best for mom and dad, huh? To let them pave the way for you, especially if you go to a private institution. Okay? Here's the thing. This is not necessarily a private institution. It is a public as anybody can go. But the thing is, you have a private tutor. Can you, what is it, the word that we looked up?
Pious.
Okay.
Similar is profanity, babbling, ungodliness, godless chatter.
Okay. Now read that whole scripture again with that in there.
Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth plain and simple. Stay clear of pious, profane, godless chatter. That is only talk.
That is only talk. No action behind it. Okay. Now, you know people who, you know, talk about how they pass and how they've done this and that. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored mentality. But see, that's pious talk. That's only talk. Because, see, when you're really blessed, you don't have much time to be talking. See, when you're really a parent, you don't have time to be, you know, boasting and bragging about being a parent. You're too busy being one.
Come on.
The thing is, there's responsibility when graduating from the flesh to the spirit. There's a great responsibility. Because when you graduate into the spirit, you now know that life is not about you.
Amen.
You didn't graduate for you to have everything set up for you. You graduated so that you can be a paved way, that you can be literally an example for others. Some people won't see Jesus, but they do see you.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me. The Bible clearly tells us to do greater works than what Jesus did. He graduated. At the cross. See, I need people to understand this, and y'all hear me good when I say this. You know, the Bible said before you take up your cross, you must first deny yourself. Jesus' whole life was about obedience. The sacrifice was his death.
Come on.
See, when you graduate, you understand that this is not about you. You become the example. Jesus' whole life, 33 years, was about his obedience. The sacrifice was his death. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Let me say it again. Your whole curriculum, it's all about obedience. You're the graduate. The sacrifice is the death. When you die to your old way, how can you graduate into the kingdom of heaven if you have yet to die to your old ways?
Come on.
Anybody? God tells us to be born again. God tells us to be born again. God tells us to be born again so that the other death won't have a sting. So that the grave won't have victory. Oh, death, where? Oh, yeah, y'all know what I'm doing?
Yes, sir.
Death, where's thy sting? Grave, where's thy victory? In other words, the only reason that Jesus rose is because, see, he listened to his instructor while he was living.
Amen.
So when he went down, the sacrifice was easy for him to, you got to catch this now. We can't make it into heaven if we don't obey God while we're living. Because when you close your eyes, you catch what I'm saying, the graduate?
Yes.
When you close your eyes, do you catch what I'm saying, the graduate? When you close your eyes for that little peaceful rest that we call death, those who obey God while they're alive It's easy to obey God while you peacefully rest and call in death. So you would get up when he say get up. You better catch what I'm saying. But those who don't obey God while they're alive, you're not used to it because you didn't listen to the instructor when you was in school. You didn't obey when you were, so what sacrifice you have? Nothing. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. When you obey God while you're living, graduate. When you obey mom and daddy while you're in the house, graduate. Isn't it easy to listen when you're not there? If you obey God while you're living, it's much easier to obey God while you resting in death. That means, that's why he said the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is why Jesus got up, Lazarus. This is why Jesus got up, because he obeyed when he was living. So you know he's going to obey unto death. Here's a little kicker. A lot of people think they graduate and they're going to step into the world with no knowledge, no nothing to, what you doing? Because if you didn't obey him on, oh my goodness. If you didn't obey him while you was in the class, what makes you think he was going to listen to the instruction when you're on the ground?
Come on. Okay.
How do we want to slice this up? Huh? You know, for God I live, for God I die. Graduates know this. So that means if you die in God, when God calls you, you will get up. That's heaven based, y'all. Miss Tiana, can you get Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17? I need y'all to hear. And get it from, get the Message Bible. Do 16 and 17 for me. The Message Bible. I want everybody to listen to this right quick as we talk about the graduate.
And it's Hebrews chapter 13, correct that? Okay.
Yes, 13, 16, and 17, the Message Bible. The graduate. Okay. Having what it takes to make it into heaven. Mm-hmm. We got to graduate from some old, selfish, sluggish, some old ways, that's some simple ways. Because it's not going to help us at all. What you got, Miss Tiana?
Make sure you don't take things for granted and go slack in working for the common good. Share what you have with others. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship, a different kind of sacrifice, that take place in kitchen and workplace and on the streets. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to their joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? Amen.
Go back to verse 15. Y'all listen to this, graduates. Listen to this. Read that again, verse 16.
Make sure you don't take things for granted and go slack in working for the common good. Share what you have with others. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship, a different kind of sacrifice, that take place in kitchen and workplace and on the streets.
The kitchen is at your home, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Look how he lists them in order, graduates. You know, people are holier than thou in the street. But what about home? Charity starts at home. Love starts at home. How you respect the stranger, but you don't respect the house? Ain't that something? In other words, listen to what he's saying. Okay? When you really graduate in the things of God, it's true and honest. In other words, if you don't respect charity at home, you don't respect charity at home, meaning you don't respect love at home, meaning you don't respect God. Because remember, greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that's... See, we say I love God, but do we really respect God from the inside out? Does it start at home? You are the church. I know people running to get to church this morning and stuff like that, but no disrespect to the building, but you are the church. Because anybody can present a presentation. Not saying that that's the case. The Bible said forsake not the assembling, not the assembly.
Come on.
Ain't that something? See, when we graduate, our mind elevates as well. Right?
That's right.
In kitchen
This is a different type of sacrifice, graduates. See, a lot of people sacrifice on the workforce, but they don't sacrifice in the streets. But shouldn't you be sacrificing being obedient first at home, and then on the workforce, and then in the streets?
Absolutely.
But we get it all the way backwards. Because I don't do my tithes. Uh-oh, y'all don't hear me? Graduates, I don't pay my tithes, but God knows because I done helped somebody and I bought them McDonald's food, the homeless. So we did the street. So we doing the polar opposite. But doesn't charity start at home?
Yes, indeed.
That's amazing, huh?
It is.
Come on, graduates. Graduates, you about to get out the house. Ain't that something? Graduates, you got real bills to pay now. Right? In other words, if you're not catching what I'm saying, you got some stuff, you got a debt that you owe. And the Bible said, owe no man nothing but to love him. Here's the problem. The Bible said, if a man knoweth not God, he knoweth not love. If he knoweth not love, he knoweth not God. You see the detriment behind that?
Oh, yes.
I done heard people say, you know, I love that person. Baby, if you're not in God, you don't know what love is. In other words, if you never went to the right school, you don't know what the right curriculum is. You do know that you can go to schools, you know, that when you graduate and go to college, graduates, that college professor would tell you that your school was on a third grade level, although you graduated 12th grade. That don't mean just because you had the title 12th grade don't mean that the education was 12th greatest level. Uh-oh. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to help somebody out. Just because somebody gave you, you know, talking about you went to ministry school, don't mean that you're on a pastoral level for God.
Come on.
From faith to faith and glory to glory. Now, you would know it when you really step out in the real world. Before you take up your cross, you must first deny yourself. See, we go and walk across stage with pride. Proceeding us. But I thought the instructor, I thought the dean of the school, Miss Tiana, said you must first deny yourself. So I know you got a cap and gown on, but I know you got a cap and gown, and you gave somebody an invitation. You gave somebody an invitation to a graduation that you're not really graduating in.
Come on.
Because if you graduated and walked off stage and got that hug from God himself, that means God, you know, he said, to whom my son, who I'm well pleased. Meaning you operating in faith. You cannot operate in faith and pride at the same time. You know how people say, well, I feel like, baby, you have yet to graduate. I don't know who gave you your diploma. You got that from a Cracker Jack box? Where you got it from? You know why I say a Cracker Jack box? Because it's nothing but a game. But Miss Tiana, didn't you read scripture that says put away aside those that fabrication talk, that little small ungodly chatter?
Yes.
See, we just talking about it. Remember, watch this, y'all. Because see, they have a form of godliness but deny the power. See, real graduates have power. Their words are potent. In other words, it's not what they don't say what they feel. They say what God tells them. They say what the instructions tells them to say. This is why the Bible says, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. This is why the Bible also says, test not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. In other words, I'm the one who stamped their graduation card. I'm the one who hugged them when they walked across stage. I told them to commence, go forward. See, a commencement meaning move forward. You know, go forward. Huh? See, so if you really are a graduate, where's your power, graduate? Because you can't say that you graduated and you Christian and you didn't walk across stage and you didn't hug God and you don't have power. You're lying. Because if God touched you, what power don't you have?
Come on now.
In other words, you should be able to address life skillfully. Now, shouldn't you? You know why you should be able to study to show thyself approved? If you got that degree in Christianity, and God, you got a degree from God. That means he approves it. Hold on. Hold on. I love this. Do your best, 2 Timothy 2:15, to present yourself to God as one approved. If God approves you, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, what are you ashamed for? Because typically, false graduates don't want to go before the truth. You ever notice how people say, hey, let's get this before everybody? Miss Tiana, let's get it before everybody. Let's get this, let's hash this out. And you see how false graduates don't want to present it before everybody because they know they're lying. They're ashamed. How can you be ashamed of a degree that you earned? As a matter of fact, wouldn't you want to apply? Because I raise my hand when I know 10 plus 10 equals 20. Other than that, I'm ashamed. I wait for everybody else to say what it is.
Right.
See, when you have studied and you walk into a classroom, you no need of no book. Remember the Bible said, hide the word in your heart? When you study and the teacher say, hey, y'all can open your book to take the test, you don't need to open your book because you studied all night, so you're going to put what you studied to the test.
Yeah.
The people who haven't studied need the book. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. I'm about to go here for a second. Okay? When you really are in God's word, you don't need the Bible. The Bible is in your heart. I done studied already. I lived this thing out. I've graduated from flipping a page. All you got to do is look at my life. See, it's going to come a point in time where you can't find it in the Bible. This is why your argument is not strong, because you say, hey, Mr. Carr, hey, Miss Tiana, hey, Miss Jane, where can I find that in the Bible, because somebody's trying to challenge me. Baby, you don't have to find it in the Bible. Just show them your life. See, there's going to come a point in time in life. Who walks around with a book sack on their life and they're 30 years old?
Uh-oh. Now I'm talking gibberish, Miss Tiana.
Who walks around with a book sack and they're 30 years old? You don't do that no more, because all that you studied and you learned and that you applied is in your heart. So why are you still toting the Bible and throwing it at people? Why don't you throw love at them through what you know?
Uh-oh.
So, Mr. Carr, you saying I shouldn't read my Bible? No, I'm saying you should take what you already learned in your Bible, because that's going to come a point in time where God tests you without the Bible in hand, Jesus. You know, it's called the wilderness. It's called the wilderness. Before he stepped into ministry, he had to go through the wilderness, 40 days. And then even at his commencement, he had a hater trying to stop him from going into the world. You heard?
That's right.
This is when he told a hater, Satan, get ye behind me. Get thee behind me. Now, what's up? And that's seven. What's the second part of that one, Ms. Tiana, Hebrews 13:17? What is that?
Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the conditions of life and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them?
See, this is the real part about a graduate. Oh, graduate. A real graduate knows that I'm not beyond reproach. Even if I graduate and I start my own business, I still work for people. Because how can you have a business without consumers?
Right.
Be responsive to your pastoral leaders, graduates. Oh, my goodness. So if the dean told you that, you would listen to the dean if you really graduated. But see, when you didn't really graduate, it's only because you ain't listen to the dean when you was in school. In other words, you ain't listen to the dean in life, yet alone death. So if you didn't listen to God in life, how can you graduate into heaven? Because you wouldn't listen to him through death.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm going to talk that talk. So if you didn't listen to God, I ain't say hear. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Babies can hear when they're born. Listening is something that you acquire through maturation,
right,
through graduating, through taking courses. Because listen says, I hear you and I do what you said. So it says, listen to your pastoral leaders. What else does it say, Ms. Anna?
Be responsive and listen. They're alert to the conditions.
Be responsive and listen. How can you respond to something that you don't listen to?
Can't.
You ever seen how people listen intently? You know what to listen intently mean? Tell them, Miss Tiana.
To actually understand?
To listen intently, not only to understand, is that you're listening and you respond. You ever see somebody focus and listening to your words? Your words become life. They listening to you so, and you saying every little word, and whatever I'm telling, they're shaking their head like they really understand. They, when you listen intently, you respond.
Mm-hmm.
People can listen to you and ignore because they're trying to multitask.
Right.
But see, real graduates understand that eye contact means a lot.
Mm. Come on.
They're listening intently. They're not only hearing your words, but they're looking for instruction from your words so they can perform everything that you said through your words. Man, you don't hear me.
Come on.
Yeah. You see how I let Oprah come, because everybody love Oprah, huh, women? Fellas, everybody love whoever you love. I don't know. But let somebody, your little idol come. You're going to listen intently. Everything else is shut off. See, it's funny how when we love what we love, we listen intently to. Some people love lies. That's why they listen to them.
Right.
The very thing that we should reject. Hence the Bible said, my children know my voice. See, graduates know the voice of the instructor. And if it's not a real instructor, they don't listen to. Ain't that something? Listen to these, to your pastoral leaders. They know the condition of your heart. In other words, they know the condition of what you've been seeing. They know it because they're under strict supervision of God. They are the under shepherd. God is the shepherd. They're the under shepherd. But they're under the shepherd. So they're going to tell you, thus said the Lord. That you, now, see, here's the thing. Huh? Just like anything else, you better make sure, not only sending your child to the right school, you better make sure you go to the right school. Placement is important.
Okay.
In other words, you better make sure you're under the right tutelage. Ain't that something?
It is.
It's one thing to graduate, but it's another thing to graduate from the right university, right high school. Yes,
okay.
Lord. Oh, yes, it is. Huh? You understand? This is very important. Go ahead and read the rest, Ms. Tiana.
Then it says to contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for
them? Hold on, Ms. Tiana. You're going too fast. Okay? You know what contributing to the joy of their leadership is all about? If you have an instructor, your instructor should smile and wanting to teach you. Graduates. This is a beautiful thing. It's a pleasure to coach people that want to be coached. It's a pleasure to teach people that want to be taught. But when you have somebody, Lord have mercy. See, the problem is, charity starts at home. When you have someone who does not want to be taught, it's like pulling teeth. Because everything that you correct them on, they think you're challenging them. You're tearing them down. That's not contributing to the joy. Mm-hmm. Of their leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, you will see your teachers later after you've graduated, and you had them teachers that be like, "Ooh, your daddy, your mom was something." That's all they say is something. You can take this so many different ways. But then you have teachers who are precise and tell your children, "Your father or your mother was a pleasure to teach."
Mm-hmm.
That means they actually, boy, did you catch it? They actually listen to the instruction I share with them. They did
right.
What I said. In other words, I can use Miss Tiana as the model for the whole class because she makes it a joy for me to teach. So if the whole class is being obnoxious and unruly, I can use Tiana before I even get in the class to calm the class down. It's not that she's a teacher's pet, but she is the joy of what. You remember the Bible said that David was the apple of my eye? The reason why David was the apple of God's eye because he was a great student, because he was after God's heart. In other words, when I follow the teacher's instruction, I'm following the teacher's heart. That means that what? This is why God was pleased with David.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. The same David that would have an apple on Jesus' desk would be that same David if Jesus said to sick him or go get him, because you know he slayed lions with his bare hand. That David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Goliath fell because of him. That David. See, that's a joy to teach him. And it's also the same David who had Bathsheba's husband killed, did something wrong, but he was so in tune with God that he got it right rather quickly. That David. He didn't rebel against God. That David. See, being a graduate don't mean that you won't slip. It means that you won't stay down. It don't take for somebody else to tell you about your wrongdoing, because you're so close and tight to God that you hear from God himself. Ain't that something? Graduates? What else we got, Miss Tiana?
Why would you want to make things harder for them?
Why would... Graduates, your pastoral leaders, your teachers, they the ones who give you your recommendation. You don't hear me? They the ones who give you your recommendation. In other words, they the ones who going to God on your behalf. So when God say, hey, when that recruiter, God, yes, Lord, the Holy Spirit, when that recruiter come to your life, to the school, they going to that leader. Say, hey, what about Miss Tiana? That leader cannot lie to that recruiter called the Holy Spirit. It cannot. You can't lie before God. The Holy Spirit already know. So that pastor, that leader, is under that strict supervision. They got to tell the truth. And see, when somebody starts saying, see, you done. I don't know. I'm really, you done. That wouldn't profit you at all for somebody, your leaders, to say this. You want to walk across stage. Huh? Not somebody have to swindle you a degree. You want the real thing because you really earned it through obedience.
Right. Right.
Through obedience. Live life skillfully. God has already prepared you for everything that you shall face. Every temptation that is known to man, he has prepared you for. Now it's time for you to live life skillfully, graduates.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Let's go ahead and pray, Miss Tim.
All right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you allow for us to come together today, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so gifted with this means of worshiping you, dear Lord, that no matter where we are in the world, Heavenly Father, we can come together and celebrate and worship you. Heavenly Father, as we go forward on this day and the week ahead, may we take in mind, Heavenly Father, all that you've given us this morning. You've given us that reminder, Heavenly Father, that it's all in you. As we graduate, move forward, commence towards the next journey in our lives. Heavenly Father, may we do so righteously. May we do so with you in mind. May we do so knowing that you, Heavenly Father, has provided the path. We thank you again for our leader. We thank you for this ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great day, and we'll see y'all later on this evening at 8 p.m. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.